Personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astry tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
We're talking South this week, Dal. Preseason finally underway. Did it scratch any bit of the itch, Dal? Not all the way, but did it give any sort of a football, maybe at least a tickle? Maybe not a full-blown scratch.
Here's my problem. I was all looking forward to the Commies playing the Browns, at least watching the first quarter, like you said, scratching a little. And I don't have what you call the traditional, I don't even know what the traditional television package is anymore.
I don't think it exists at this point.
But I go through Hulu, and I've been pretty fortunate to have way more than not what I want to watch on whatever package. So I go, and there's a game on, but it's not that one. So I start searching just in case, and I find it, and it says, oh, this is going to air on the 14th. So, yeah. So, what I ended up doing was just kind of following along Gamecast, play-by-play, the thing on ESPN when you have no other option.
I was about to say, I know...
And anyway, and then the video clips start popping up, and got to see how the pass wasn't great, but Jahan Dotson's catch was, and he got a touchdown. So, supposedly he looks pretty good, and all the players seem to like him, so... I even had my Washington football team shirt on and my Commander's hat on, and I was denied. But at least they did score the very Washington-esque total of 17 points, which is what they've always done.
Did they score on their opening drive, do you know?
I don't think so.
Any points at all, even a field goal?
I don't think so, because I think... it was almost basically scoreless the first quarter.
So, an interesting tidbit that probably... It's one of those stats that is like, well, is that because it's the Patriots and Chiefs every year for 20 straight years? But, as a fun little side note, Dal, did you know that for 20 consecutive years, the team that has won the Super Bowl scored points on their opening drive of the preseason?
My team's not going to win the Super Bowl.
So I just want to let everyone out there know that if your team didn't score points on its opening drive in week one of the preseason, it's over. Give up now. There is no hope.
Pretty sure we didn't. So,
so that's just one of those weird, interesting...
But my expectations were a bit more tempered than that for this season anyway. I was hoping for playoffs.
It was like, what was it? My brother... jumping up and down and celebrating the first season that he really watched football. He walked in. It was like a week four game. We're watching a Bears game, and the Bears won the coin toss. That's what it's like. You have to celebrate the preseason week one. We scored. So there we go. The stats tell me.
maybe it's because I stopped paying attention as much, or is it just me, or... is there a lot more stupid preseason analytical talk now than there used to be? Even recently.
Well, the biggest part, and maybe as a Bears fan, I'm skewed, Dal. And now you know me, so maybe it skews you as well. But tell me as a non-Bears fan, Justin Fields, to this point, to me, seems like he should just be another young quarterback in the league. Why does it feel like he has become almost like he does have a star on his helmet? Like if you're the Cowboys quarterback, you're going to be name dropped either positively or negatively on every cast for clicks. Fields has become the we need clicks quarterback. So he came out, he threw three screen passes in the preseason. And I laughed. I think I even came in here and I chuckled. I'm like, oh, I think I texted you and I said, Justin Fields went 3 for 3 for 130 yards, Dal. And then I put in parentheses, do not under any circumstances look up the film. I thought it was funny. Anyhow, people are still talking about it on my morning sports shows this morning. It's been 3 days. People are still arguing over whether it was an impressive showing or not. It was three screen passes. Can we all stop talking about it?
Well, not only that, but you're getting this from, to answer your question,
is it just because he runs?
I have not. I don't feel like he's gotten an inordinate amount of holy crap, Justin Fields, from an outsider standpoint. But I feel like there is an inordinate amount of holy crap about stupid things.
Also true.
Like that. And like some of the other performance. Like, they're, first off, they're using the phrase performance. It's like, Bryce Young struggles in opening performance. And I'm like, he played for like 5 minutes. That's like coming out to sing karaoke, missing a couple of notes. But for the most part, I mean, you belong up there. It's karaoke. And then people start acting like you shouldn't be singing at all. It's like, it's karaoke. It doesn't matter. It's for fun. And then the thing that was, I'm soapboxing this now.
Remember
today,
when Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch a football?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I noticed the big thing that came out this morning was so-and-so wins starting job. Like they've accomplished something. Bryce Young wins starting job in Carolina. Well, no crap. He's the top overall pick. And who else did you have? That's why you picked him number one overall.
Dalton.
C.J. Stroud wins starting job. Anthony Richardson wins. These are all headlines, by the way.
They've won
the starting job.
I forgot to mention as well that I actually got really lucky this preseason, because I often have the same problem you did, where I have this feeling of, oh, I'd like to watch the Bears preseason game because they're going to be playing here soon. Except it doesn't work like the regular season. I don't just have whatever you call it, the DirecTV. Now it's on YouTube TV.
Sunday ticket
where I can just select their game. I'm at the preseason games. You're at the mercy of whatever the national game is. And so often I've gotten excited to watch a Bears game before and then go, oh, that's right. We got Colts, Jets,
Chiefs, Colts, and Saints.
Yeah. But for the first 2 weeks of this preseason, the Bears just so happened to be playing two rookie quarterbacks. So both of them are nationally. We played the Titans this week. We got the Colts next week.
But everything is just, I'm already, so again, to answer your initial question, no, my itch has not been scratched. If anything, I'm more annoyed this week. It's like, just shut up. Can we play real games? If not, then shut up and let them just at least get through the preseason. This is like...
The rookie trash talk is always ridiculous.
Well, but it's everything right now. Everybody is over... Like I said, it started, at least with my mind, you pointed this out to me. I need to go back and remember who it was that said it. They referred to the Hall of Fame game as a must-win game for the Jets.
He must have meant that with all their new additions, they needed to show up and play well.
Why?
But even that.
That's exactly
my
point.
It's such a stretch.
It is not a must win.
There's that, Aaron, or maybe Rodgers, it was a parody.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers didn't even play.
No. Dalvin Cook wasn't on the team yet.
You know, I think they've forgotten that it wasn't that long ago that they put the wrong kind of paint on the field at the Hall of Fame game, and they couldn't even play the damn thing. What would they have done then? Oh, season's over for the Jets. Didn't even get to play the game.
By the way, for all the excitement that Jets fans
have... And I hate the Jets!
The Jets fans have about Aaron Rodgers being there. They just got Dalvin Cook to pair with Breece Hall. They got these new weapons, all this and that. As I recall, the Jets did not score points on their opening preseason drive.
Yeah,
so the season is over.
Well,
just so we're clear,
it's interesting to me, the AFC East running game got significantly better yesterday. Got Dalvin Cook to the Jets, Ezekiel Elliott to the Pats. Interesting stuff. And for all of the running back talk and all of the we don't get paid enough and the let's have a Zoom call as running backs, nobody got any more money. In fact, Dalvin Cook's playing for, I think, 8.7 or 8.6, that's including incentives. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel Elliott's playing for 6 with incentives.
Now, you can't call any one-year contract an overpay at this point.
I know, but these are the same people that are bitching at the $10 million franchise tag on this
sort of
on this Zoom call.
We don't necessarily have proof that it was Cook or Elliott.
Yes, we do, because they were involved in it. They're all acting like they're all part of this, yeah, we're lockstep together to fix the running back. No, you're not. You're trying to have a job. And guess what? For your job, someone offered you $8 million. You're going to friggin' take it. As far as Ezekiel Elliott, you're 28. You already got your huge contract. They hate you in Dallas now. Yeah, move somewhere else and get $6 million.
It is very funny, though, that... Now, what I was in the middle of saying, though, is I don't believe there's any such thing as an overpay for on a one-year deal, because what cap is it hitting? You're literally like 2 weeks from kickoff. You're not worried about your cap anymore.
Those guys didn't get overpaid. I feel like...
Except Ezekiel Elliott, do you feel like he is worth 3/4 of a Dalvin Cook?
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott after, I don't know.
You know,
he kind of feels like his sole role with any team at this point is at 1 yard line, bring in Zeke.
Here's the thing. I'm actually nervous. I think that is a perfect spot for him. Because here we are questioning maybe is he as hungry now as he was when he first came in the league before he got the big contract? Yeah, I mean, those are always questions that non-NFL players ask, people like us. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to go to New England and half-ass it for Bill Belichick. So, and if you think you are, you're not. Because he's going to get rid, especially running backs. I mean, look at the history of running backs under Bill Belichick. He's had some that were really good that he's like, you're not very good. I'm just saying, he's pretty tough on them. And so I feel like this could be, it could be a career resurrector for Ezekiel Elliott. I think he could trend upward with this signing. We'll see what happens.
We're going to find out. I do appreciate that he hasn't announced what number he's going to wear.
He has.
Oh, he has.
He's going to wear number 15, which is what he wore in college.
Okay. I hadn't seen him actually announce that. I just saw all the edits.
You should listen to the weekday wake up with myself.
I'm like, I saw the edits people made of him wearing 15, despite the fact that I'm like, I don't think he's actually said which number he's going to wear.
I can even show you the picture, or the printout.
Okay. But yeah, so then I guess it is official he will be wearing 15 that he wore at 15. Ohio State, where I really, really, really hated Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
He has done a spectacular job of making sure that he has exclusively played for the most hateable teams I can imagine.
Yep, he's still doing it, too, because yeah. I like the Patriots.
I don't like he's going to have a pit stop in Green Bay before he retires. He's just got to.
I don't know that he'll be in New England next year. I mean, it's a one-year thing.
Yeah.
But
you just know it's happening, though.
But if he comes, I'm just saying, if he comes into New England and he runs for 1,200 yards, I could see a needy team throwing the franchise tag at him, or at least money close to that. I could see that happening. A contender team? Why not? That division, though, at least on paper, got significantly tougher.
England is far and away the fourth in the running at this point.
Oh, they are, but But before yesterday, or before those signings, I mean, who was the best running back in that conference? Or not in the in that division?
Breece Hall? Yeah. Ramondre Stevenson, maybe?
Oh, who's the Dolphins running back?
Oh, the...
Mostert?
Yeah, the guy they got from San Francisco. I think it's Mostert.
But now, I mean, you just added two guys that...
I would argue, though, that they added two guys that are both the second best running back on their team going into next year.
I don't know. I'm
a huge Breece Hall fan.
I am a big Breece Hall fan, but he's also coming off a major injury.
Well, that's true.
So, and you're also got a guy like Dalvin Cook, who, again, these guys have, you have to have an ego to play sports at all. To play professional sports, you got to have a huge ego and use it as a fuel, I would think. And you don't think he doesn't hear what people say about him? Oh, you're washed up. It's like 20 years ago, teams would have been gutting their draft room to get this guy. They would have thrown everything. And now it's, I don't know, people just, oh, there's somebody else out there. I just, as a Bills fan, as my secondary team and a huge Josh Allen fan, that signing scares me. Because I think the Jets got significantly better.
Potentially. But again, if the end goal of side hustling Josh Allen, like I side hustle Joe Burrow, because our teams haven't made the playoffs in a hot second.
Yeah.
Since 2020 for both of us, right?
Yeah, and my team, it almost kind of didn't count that year. They were 7-9, and I even bought a hat because they were 7-9 in division champs. I'm like, screw it, I'm buying a hat.
And the Bears were, I believe, 9-7 in the 7 seed. Yeah.
And then, not only that, but then, I will say this, that was the legend of Taylor Heinicke game.
It was.
And he damn near beat
for the Bears.
Tom Brady and the Bucks.
That year was the legend of Mitchell Trubisky winning MVP in a game he lost, the Nickelodeon Valuable Player, right, for a playoff game. a trophy that he grabbed, stared at blankly, like absolutely with no emotion, and then walked away. Like, are you really going to make me hold this right now after my season
ended? Isn't it like an orange balloon?
Yes. It's the Nickelodeon logo with slime as the handle, and they're forcing him to hold this thing on the sideline.
Well,
and then Josh Allen made the quip when Trubisky was his backup. He's like, oh, no, he polishes that thing every day. He's got it in front of his locker. Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky will hurt you if you try to touch his MVP trophy. See,
I like Josh Allen knows what it's like for people to give him crap about maybe lesser trophies, because he has a Potato Bowl MVP trophy, which, when they give it to you, is full of potatoes.
Woohoo!
Well, he threw them out. Like, when they handed it to, he literally was, like, throwing them out to the team and the fans who were on the field. So it's just a bowl. Just a glass bowl. And I'm assuming he still has it, but let's be honest, he's got some other stuff now. And he's dating a starlet. So,
but
who knows?
If you are side hustling one of those teams, the expectation is, well, the reason I like them anyway, I'm hoping that if my team doesn't make the playoffs, I can root for that team to win the Super Bowl. If Josh Allen's going to win the Super Bowl, he's going to have to go through Cincinnati and Kansas City anyway. So you might as well find out during the regular season. Well, can he beat the Jets? Can he beat the Dolphins?
Yeah, maybe the Jets and Dolphins and Pats, maybe they make the Bills into that steel wool, we can handle anything type of squad. I don't know.
It's amazing because I only would have seen the segment because Justin Fields was involved, because that's how we sports fan work. But I thought it made a great point about Josh Allen, and I think it's something that we are going to see how the Bills handle it. He was talking about, the segment was, once again, we're talking about the stupid screen passes. But essentially, Colin Cowherd's segment was, he thinks that this is very good for Chicago, it's a good sign, and he goes, not because it looks like Justin Fields has made some great strides or anything like that, they were screen passes. But he said, the Bears last season, he goes, and I feel like defensive coaches have this problem all the time. Because they don't handle their superstars the way Andy Reid does. He said, Patrick Mahomes, we all think of his amazing plays, but how many does he have per game? They ask him to do it like twice a game, have a spectacular play like twice. Other than that, they led the league in yards after catch last year. The Chiefs did. He's like, they're getting creative with their play. It's bubble screens, it's underneath stuff, it's dump offs, it's just stay ahead of the chains.
Well, it's putting your best players in space and letting them make a play. You hear that all the time.
Yes, and he said, occasionally when you have a superstar athletic quarterback and a defensive head coach, and he pulled up some examples to reference to Fields, but he said Cam Newton and Josh Allen suffered from this. And I kind of agree. He said, rather than having offenses that allow them to just let their playmakers make plays, and okay, Josh, I only need like two superhuman plays out of you. It's they're asking these guys, oh, yeah. And the Bears did it last year with Fields. It's, hey, can you be my whole offense?
Yeah, they're asking.
We need 20 of those plays. Yeah, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, we've kind of touched on that, at least with Allen. It's like, yeah, that he was, they were expecting him to play spectacular for them to win playoff games, basically. And it's like, mm-hmm. he needs help. And I hope Benjamin Cook is at least as good as Dalvin Cook.
James. Ben Cook was a tight end from the 2010s.
See? I don't even know his name yet.
There's too many cooks floating around.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
But anyhow, I kind of agreed with... I used to think that about Newton, too, when the Panthers surrounded him with Devin Funchess and Ted Ginn Jr. and said, hey, can you go win MVP for us?
And he
did. It's our only hope. And you know what? As a Bears fan... Like, yeah, I am excited because now we have DJ Moore. Apparently, we're going to run some more quick screens, I hope. We're going to have more creative play calling, and the play design isn't going to be, hey, Justin, we're calling a pass play. We're going to need a couple of 80-yard runs out of you, otherwise I guess we're not scoring today because that sucks. And we're going to see if the Bills get around to that.
Did add Dalton Kincaid, who everybody's saying the right things in camp.
Yeah,
but I think he's been as advertised. Supposedly, he's making plays every day in camp.
And that's the funny thing is, have you ever noticed, and obviously you're hearing stuff from Bills camp, it feels like I never really get news. People don't bother reporting on what's happening in Chiefs camp, in Bengals camp, in Bills camp, in Eagles camp. It's like I don't get that news because I feel like people don't care as much when they already know you're going to be good. All the camp news I always get is what's happening with the Bears, what's happening in Indianapolis with the rookie, what's happening in Dallas because Dallas, and ooh, it's a star. Ooh. It is funny, though, how I'm like, I haven't heard a thing about what's Joe Burrow and Josh Allen up to right now? What's Mahomes doing?
Well,
nobody cares because we already know who they are.
What's interesting is I watched the interview today from Josh Allen. You know, they're required to talk to the media for however many times.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even talk to him about that. At least for the 5-6 minutes I watched, they just kept talking about who's the big trash talker. Who talks trash this year? What does that do? What is so, they handle it fine, but it's just like, yeah, it's silly. It's a silly time of year. But Aaron, we better get to our predictions.
That's true. I did appreciate, though, the other one that he mentioned was, he's like, all the Michael Jordan highlights. You think of all the going between his legs and throwing it between two guys over the top of his head for a layup. And he's talking about, how many times did the Bulls actually ask him to do that per game? Like, he's like, if he went out and scored 34... I bet like two of them were him doing that, and the rest were mid-range jumpers, because that's how a successful team handles its superstars.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, again, as someone who basically watched every Bulls game during the Jordan era, there was 95% of the time, there was a switch that got flipped in Jordan's head that was like, all right, time to win this game.
But
and they went and did it.
Essentially, what we're saying is that's going to be the big thing for Buffalo this year is, are they ever going to get around to asking Josh Allen to only do it two or three times? Or is Josh Allen being asked to win the slam dunk contest every possession?
Well, how about you ask him to do it 4 months from now? Don't ask him to do it in week one, which I'm afraid is what's going to happen, because week one is against the Dolphins and the Jets, I mean. And everybody's already flipping out about Bills Jets week one.
And to be fair, though, aren't you excited for Bills Jets?
Sure, I am.
Monday Night Football.
But it does not. It probably does not matter who wins that game.
Well,
over the course, it matters more because they're division rivals.
It could come down to a game that those two teams, if the Jets are as good as people think.
But I'm just saying, if they're both going to make the playoffs, they're both going to make the playoffs.
But you'd rather be in Buffalo, though.
Sure you would.
Come January and February. But
All right, but whose jersey did you pull out first?
Oh, let's see here. So we're talking South today. We're going to go Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I am contractually obligated to bring this up since you have a Maurice Jones-Drew jersey. Maurice Jones-Drew played, of course, running back for the Jaguars. Before that, he was at UCLA. And in 2004, the biggest underdog of the bowl season in Las Vegas, UCLA playing my Wyoming Cowboys. They were the biggest underdog of the bowl season that year, and the Cowboys won. Stuff it, Maurice Jones-Drew, and stuff it, UCLA. It was awesome. I jumped down on the field, almost broke my leg, and guess what? You don't know this. Next time you look in my office, which you're going to have to do soon since you're leaving, there's this little cabinet on the back wall. Mm-hmm. And there's a Gatorade water bottle that's kind of up, that's kind of tucked in the back.
Uh-huh.
In that water bottle is water from the 2004 Las Vegas Bowl. I am not kidding.
Is this like Pinto Ron, the Bills fan?
I don't know.
He opened a bag of potato chips in the stadium during the 35-3 comeback against the Oilers. And so now he claims that every single playoff game that the Bills play, he pulls out a rally chip from this 30-year-old bag and he takes one chip and he eats it.
I will not drink this because I think it'll kill you. I don't know. But I'm just saying that is winning water from that game. And it has written in Sharpie, it's like Wyoming Athletics or whatever. But I stole that from the field. It was unattended, so I used to try and take things from bowl games.
Pinto Ron.
Well, the stuff that was they're either going to throw it away or nobody cares. I will say the only time I actively looked to steal something of value, the Tater Bowl in 2017, Josh Allen's there. Man, they had that stadium locked down tight. And I'm not much of a thief, so I didn't come away with anything. I did buy a hat. I bought it. I'm not talking like stealing, actual stealing. I'm just saying, like, for example, oh, here's a big sticker that they put on the side of the hallway for the bowl game that they're just going to rip down and throw it away. Well, I would rip it down and take it home, is what I'm saying. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't have anything like that.
And we kind of talked about this on our Sports Friday show recently, Dal, but if Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes show up in Laramie for Texas Tech and Wyoming...
They're not, but that would be cool.
Are you going to take Patrick Mahomes home as a souvenir? Is that...
if Wyoming wins, I will.
Did you see, by the way, the clip that's been going viral of him and his wife doing the...
It's a couples test or something?
Yes!
She's weird. I don't care what anybody says.
What's my favorite cheat day meal? And with an accent and everything, she barrels out fried chicken, and he just stares at her soullessly and says, "Mexican food."
Yeah, and supposedly they've been dating for like 10 years.
The replies to that and the accusations of blatant racism from his wife were just hilarious to me.
Anyway,
the Jacksonville Jaguars, Dal.
Now, okay, yeah. So, I was obligated to bring up the bowl game. A couple of Wyoming starters on Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Dewey Wingard at safety. Andrew Wingard. We call him Dewey. And then Chad Muma at linebacker. I don't think Chad starts, but he might this year. But a couple of Wyoming guys on that Jacksonville team. I feel like I have to say this, Aaron. If there's a quarterback that's annoying me with the they've taken this elite step forward narrative this last offseason.
Zach Wilson after preseason week one.
It's Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence had a nice season. Before last season, people were like, is this guy a bust? Is he not as good as we thought?
To be fair, those people were also tarded.
But what I'm saying is, he's getting way too much credit. He's doing what the number one overall pick is supposed to do, and I will argue he's not doing it as well as some of the others.
I still have a lot of faith in Trevor Lawrence.
I do dislike him. And part of it's his hair. Stop looking like a 20-year-old girl. He looks like he's pledging a sorority for hell's sakes. Jacksonville, obviously, they fell. I used this phrase a lot last year, but they fell ass backwards into an absolutely terrific coaching hire after trying to get the Urban Meyer experiment. What a debacle. What a debacle that was. And then they just, oh, here's Doug Peterson.
What has he ever done?
They're so lucky. Talk about the perfect guy for that team at the right time.
It was a little bit of luck, but you could also argue this isn't like a franchise that has been over the top, just enjoying the luckiest luck that has ever lucked. Maybe you could argue that they were overdue for a break like that. They are a championshipless franchise, after all.
They have a lot of talent, though. I expect them to be good again. And when you look at that division, you used to say, oh, Tennessee, they're gritty. They got a good coach. I like Mike Vrabel. They got Derrick Henry running the... I think
Jacksonville's the favorite this year.
I think there's a significant gap over the course of a season about who the best team in that division is.
Do you suppose some of your Trevor Lawrence anti-hype that you're going to be going after here, does Calvin Ridley help any of that this coming season? Do you suppose that's going to be a significant help for Trevor Lawrence?
Here's the thing. I actually hope it is, because I think Calvin Ridley got screwed by the league. I mean, you look at some of the other stuff that goes on, even within the gambling realm. I mean, look at what's going on at Iowa right now. They've got college players supposedly betting on their own team to lose.
Not to lose.
No, there was one of them that was to lose.
Oh, I heard that there was a lot of them betting the under
on
Iowa games.
But Calvin Ridley didn't do anything wrong. If you don't want players to gamble, then don't fall in love and sleep with the gambling industry, used to be the thing with professional sports. And then they're like, oh, it's okay. It'll be fine.
The Big Ten announced that in 2024 or 5, they're in contract talks with Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas to host the Big Ten Championship. And so the internet was very quick to say, not let Iowa anywhere near Las Vegas. We must stop this now.
But, all right, we really need to get on task here now. Okay,
so the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think the Jaguars are the easy favorite in the AFC South, because look who else is in the South. You got C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans.
I think the Titans are such a mystery wild card type of...
I think they have been that way and done well. I really do think Mike Vrabel's a really good coach.
The problem is they have so many players that could very easily still make them the same Titans we've seen 2-3 years ago, that it's funny that I could literally tell you right now, it wouldn't shock me either way if the Titans went 7 or 10, and it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if the Titans went 11-6 and won the division.
I think they have kind of eroded their talent level at the top of their roster in terms of what they have. And I think this is the year that it catches up to them. I think they need some guys to make that big jump that they were hoping to make the big jump. Or I think they're going to come up well short of the Jaguars.
Now, one thing that did help them in the past was, as I'll just grab the Titans jersey, I guess. We're talking Titans now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which, actually, I don't own a Titans jersey.
Ooh, it's an Oilers jersey.
I own an Air McNair.
Wow, that's cool.
Actually, it is, in fact.
Is it a Tennessee Oilers?
It is
Oilers?
The Tennessee Oilers.
Wow.
So there you go.
It's the in-between.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Thank you.
And
it actually works this year because they brought back those unis.
Yeah, they're gonna wear the Houston Oilers jerseys at least once.
But talking about the Tennessee Titans, one thing that hurt them last year was the regression of Tannehill, and obviously Malik Willis was horrible in his one start. But Could you argue that Tannehill is not entirely to blame for Tannehill's downfall, considering that they traded away A.J. Brown and gave him Treylon Burks, a rookie, as his number one wide receiver?
Well, and that's exactly who I'm referring to when I say they need someone to... I remember that draft. Everybody was wetting themselves over all of the wide receivers in that draft, and the people who wanted to justify getting rid of A.J. Brown, they're like, oh, this guy's just going to replace A.J. Brown. Well, he didn't, and he hasn't.
What happened with A.J. Brown again, by the way?
Yeah, he's he's awesome. But I just... So, to me, Treylon Burks, that's exactly who I'm referring to when I say someone's got to take a big step forward. Otherwise, they don't have an elite talent on offense other than Derrick Henry.
What about DeAndre Hopkins? That was what I was leading into.
I don't...
Does that help Tannehill get back to what Tannehill was when he had Brown?
What is DeAndre Hopkins at this point? When's the last time he friggin' played? I feel like he's got to reestablish himself. Right now, I don't even feel like he's in the league.
We forgot about the Hopkins.
Well, I'm just saying, it feels like he hasn't had a productive season in a long time. So, until he does, I'm not picking him. If that's your boom or bust, am I taking DeAndre Hopkins? Hell no, I'm not. No way.
We forgot to do one with Jacksonville, but what the heck? How happy would you be if the number one receiver on your fantasy team was Calvin Ridley heading into next year?
I'd be not happy at all.
Not you don't trust it even a little bit?
As my number one?
You don't think he could be Falcons Calvin Ridley right off the bat?
No.
It's going to take a second?
Again, he's missed a whole year.
Two.
Yeah, two. Yeah, I don't even know. So, no, I would not be happy.
And for Tennessee?
It's got to be Tannehill.
Well, no one drafts Tannehill in fantasy anyway.
But what I'm saying is... If it's not Tannehill, then it's Will Levis, which means you're rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that question has to get answered.
And you know what's unfortunate? We're going to do the thing here, Dal, or I am at least. He got outplayed by Malik Willis in that preseason game.
Supposedly, to be fair, because I think Malik Willis looked about as bad as a top quarterback prospect can look last year.
Now, he was a rookie.
To be fair, yeah, that's what I don't care. But to be fair, supposedly he has made strides in the offseason. So I have read that. So.
And I did. They were obviously playing my Bears, so I got to watch that whole thing.
So we'll see what happens there. But to me, the Titans. How about we just do boom or bust on Titans quarterback? Do the Titans have a quarterback who throws for 3,000 yards this year? I say no.
I'll go yes. If Tannehill plays all 17 of them.
He won't.
I say...
When's the last time he played 17 games?
I don't feel like Tannehill gets hurt that often.
I'm not saying that he does, but he's also, what, 36?
No way. He's the same age as Russell Wilson. They came into the league
How
together.
How old is Ryan Tannehill?
32.
Ryan Tannehill is 35 years old.
Oh.
35.
How old is he and Russell Wilson?
How old is Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is 34 years old.
Oh my goodness. When did this happen?
Yeah, you're getting old, my friend.
Who let this happen?
Don't look at me. Everybody got used to quarterbacks playing into their 40s. That used to never be a thing.
But yeah.
Hate to break this to you, Aaron Rodgers is like 38.
And you're not even accounting for the fact that Derrick Henry is going to have 500 of those receiving yards on screen passes.
Yeah.
So
so anyway, yeah, there's my boomer bust on the Titans. I think they're in rebuilding mode. They just don't know it yet.
Do you think that they get to, you can't go 500 anymore, but do you think that they go at least 8 wins again?
No.
You think this is going to be their first full-fledged losing season under Vrabel?
I just don't think they... I guess I already said it. I think they have eroded their talent level to the point where before they play any games, I mean, mm-hmm. So take this what it's worth. I think they're going to lose more than they win.
All righty. We're pulling out one of the rookies, Dal. The Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud. The jersey I got's Andre Johnson, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I like me Andre Johnson. He used to help my fantasy team quite a bit.
It's actually nice to have that because it reminds you that there really were good players on the Texans at one point.
The Houston Texans, I used to make the joke. For years, I had at least one Texan on my fantasy team every year. And I used to say that's the only reason the Texans exist.
It used to be they had like a really good running back every year, even if the team sucked.
I had Andre Johnson for the first few years that I played fantasy. And then he got old right in time for Arian Foster to hit the scene.
Yeah,
and then he became my staple guy. And then Foster left, and I had Deshaun Watson as a rookie. And then the next year, I had DeAndre Hopkins.
Deshaun Watson.
So I had a Texan every year for like 9 straight years. Them and the Falcons, I've always joked. I'm like, that's the only reason these franchises exist, is to always have some fantasy-relevant players but not be a relevant team.
Let's not spend a lot of time on the Texans because, let's be honest, they've been the doormat of the league for the last handful of years. I think they hit a home run with their first two picks, at least on paper.
We didn't get to see any of Will Anderson in the
preseason. I mean, arguably, you get the quarterback minus one player that anyone would have taken, and then you get arguably the best player in the draft on the defensive side. And again, those guys still have to pan out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on paper, they did about as well as they could. Now we'll see if it translates to wins, or if it does, how long it takes.
So you're not going to overreact to CJ Stroud's 2-for-4 and an interception.
I'm going to wait till he sucks in the regular season.
I'd even...
Like a real fan.
He's going to need to suck for 2 or 3 years. That's still my motto on rookie quarter.
They don't give you two or 3 years anymore.
As the second overall pick, they really should.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but there is a lot less patience now than there used to be.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot then, but it's really not a lot now.
So let's say this, Dal. How you feeling? I say the Houston Texans are the number one pick in the draft next year. Percentage of likelihood that would you bet against me, or would you side with that?
I'd probably side with it.
Side with it?
There's probably like a 40% chance, yes.
Are they the favorites for that first overall pick?
It's tradition at this point. They need to break that.
Now, they didn't even get it last year. They were number two.
They did. Lovie Smith just did the Bears a solid.
Oh, we still love you, Lovie. Please, please accept my gift baskets. Send me your home address, and I will send you a gift basket every Sunday.
Let's say 5 wins. Boomer bust. Houston Texans 5 wins.
No.
Yeah, I say no to.
Not even in that division.
Yeah, and it's a crappy division, at least it looks like.
So, speaking of rookies in the AFC South on teams that are probably going to suck.
So this will be, read this today.
Take a wild guess who my Colt is going to be.
Peyton Manning. So I read this today. This is the This will be the 7th consecutive year that the Colts start a different quarterback. In the, 7 straight years. And yet, owners and men and GMs, they don't get nearly as much crap as they should. That is a tradition if you're starting a crappy new quarterback every year. That's your fault, per se.
Obviously, I'm trying to think here. They had Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett.
They had Philip Rivers in there.
And now I'm remembering Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan,
Carson Wentz.
This is Anthony Richardson, so there's one I'm missing.
Yeah, there's somebody else in there. But, this will be the 7th straight year. Solid. Surprisingly, they've not done real well during that stretch.
I'll never forget, it was the Bears that the Colts were playing when Andrew Luck retired on the sideline. So I was watching that game, and suddenly the announcers went silent in the third quarter and told me, "So we're getting reports Andrew Luck has just told his teammates that he's retiring from football.
At the age of 29.
He's just standing on the sideline in sweat clothes. And they're talking about this. And then I guess all the Colts fans got a hold of the information on their cell phones, and the crowd started booing.
Yeah, they started booing. I remember that.
That was such an odd thing.
Nice job, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Keep it classy.
I also still remember the tweet from some politician talking about Andrew Luck, the most millennial thing I've ever seen, deciding that football was too hard for him and just quitting in the middle of it. And some dude replied with, yeah, Andrew Luck is so soft, he once played professional football with broken ribs and a lacerated kidney.
And at 29, he had $100 million and a degree from Stanford. He's doing just fine. But the Colts aren't.
No, the Colts suck. They might not have a running back this year.
They're probably going to have one, but he is pretty much at the top of my crap list.
You should draft him first overall.
Nope, I already did that. And he screwed me, Jonathan Taylor.
And now it's the Colts' turn.
Now I'm going to refer to him as Jonathan Taylor Thomas. That little nerd from Home Improvement.
But yeah, so the Colts, not looking spectacular. They'll do that thing that the Colts keep doing the last few years where they'll play half of the games this year with like what looks like a top five defense in the league. And then the other half of the games, their defense will be so utterly average that you'll go, wait, hold on. Are they even good at defense? I don't know.
This is what okay, you want to see? I think the Colts could be tanking this year.
Very well could.
Because...
can you imagine Marvin, they end up with Harrison, Marvin Harrison
Jr.?
Supposedly, that will sell so many jerseys.
Supposedly, he is the second coming of Randy Moss.
Oh, come on, Dal.
And the second coming of Marvin Harrison.
Thank you.
But supposedly, he is the best receiver to come out of college in the last 25 years.
Well, I mean, his dad was okay.
Which so. May not... I mean, there's some pretty damn good receivers in last year's draft. Mm-hmm. But anyway... I could see the Colts kind of tanking right out of the gate, tanking for Marvin. We'll see what happens. Maybe they'll accidentally win too many games. I don't know.
And it is a shame that all the teams that were all so convinced are going to be at the bottom of the barrel this year did all just draft rookie quarterbacks, because it does increase the likelihood of the first overall pick being Marvin Harrison
Jr. Far as the Colts are concerned, we just said they're starting a new one every year. They don't care that they just picked a new one. They can pick a new one next year, too.
But, yeah, because that would be my dream get. If my dream get would be the Bears are decent and the Panthers suck, and we use their pick on Marvin Harrison Jr. But, you know, the Panthers are going to have to really, really try to suck to outsuck the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis
Colts.
Yeah,
it's going to be a suck fest.
So I look forward to seeing who can truly suckify the hardest. But we're all in agreement. The Colts, probably not in either of our picks to win the South.
Okay, let me ask you this. Boomer bust. Anthony Richardson, is he still starting for the Colts in week 12?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say yes.
I guess I don't know, because part of me thinks...
Well, neither of us know, Dale. Well, that's the whole reason we do this segment.
Part of me thinks he's either going to be hurt or he's going to be benched. I think the Colts really reached on him. Maybe I'm dead wrong, like people were about Josh Allen.
I'd like to think, though, that in week 12, the Colts should at that point know that they suck, and there's no reason to bench the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So you just let him play out the season at that point.
All right, moving over to the National Football Conference. Aaron is pulling out his Carolina Panthers Julius Peppers jersey. Is that right?
Yep, that was Pep.
The Panthers, of course, had the number one overall pick. They moved up and picked Bryce Young. And that's what everybody's going to be talking about. The big talk leading up to the draft, Aaron, was his stature. He's not a very big guy, but supposedly he is far and away understands the game the best as a quarterback of the class coming out, or at least that was a lot of what a lot of scouts thought.
He's a very smart kid. Either a 3.8 or a 4.0 GPA at Alabama, which isn't Harvard, but college is hard. He's a smart guy, And I know his stats weren't electrifying, and it's preseason, and the preseason doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
I thought he looked good. And I said, it kind of startles me because he might accidentally win Carolina some extra games by being better than Andy Dalton.
But my point is, again, they brought out, he won the starting job.
Well, yes.
He won it.
But I thought he did what, if you're a Panthers fan, that's what I would have wanted to see. He came out, he played two drives, and what did he do? Took the ball, and he didn't do the thing rookies do, which tells me, okay, he understands football and he understands how the NFL does. He didn't hold the ball. He got it. And I mean, within 2 seconds, someone that wasn't Bryce Young had the football in their hands. And that's what I would have wanted to see if I were a Panthers fan. The problem is, ironically, the same thing that people, that Bears fans used for Fields last year, that Panthers fans were telling us were excuses. Because for some reason, Panther fans are now rivals with Bears fans because of this trade. I still don't really get that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Anyhow, are now hilariously the same excuses Bryce Young is going to need for this year. His offensive line sucks, and his wide receivers aren't really helping by getting open.
Well, you traded your best one to the Bears.
Yeah, he took the snap. He found a guy within three. Now, it was getting 3 to 4 yards a pop. You'd want more than that. But unfortunately, that was probably the best play he was making on every play because no one else was going to get more open. So I thought Bryce Young looked, he looked like he was displaying the traits that he was sold on. They said, this is a smart guy. He reads defenses quickly. He went out, took snap, and against the Jets starters, and the Jets have very good starters on defense, he said, up, give me ball. Here, you take ball. Give me ball. You take ball.
I didn't watch it. I have no idea.
I thought he looked as advertised. Very nice.
But he's the number one overall pick. He's going to get all the benefits of the doubt, especially early on. And not only that, I think he's a high character guy, so he's not going to blow it like some picks do.
And the other part of him playing the style he did is the thing we're all worried about is his stature.
Yeah, his durability.
Not only is that just going to be the best thing for the Panthers because they don't really have the wide receivers to be a, you know, Buffalo Bills. We're sending this to Diggs downfield every other play. Also, if you want Bryce Young to not die, it's probably pretty good that he gets the ball out of his hand quickly.
So, boom or bust. Let's say Bryce Young. Does Bryce Young have 3,000 yards passing? I say hell no.
No. No, not his rookie year. Bryce Young, I'm going to say he's going to have a few of those seasons because I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Not this year, though. Not with the weapons they have. Not with
none.
How short his passes are going to be with him throwing as quickly as he does, and not with the fact that we're not even accounting for the fact that he might still get injured at some point during the season. We hope he doesn't, but we're both saying no on that one.
We've not been very high on the South divisions. Aaron now goes over and grabs his Saints jersey. Reggie Bush?
That is Reggie Bush.
I couldn't see it because the mic was in the way.
Oh, sorry.
But Reggie Bush, Saints jersey.
Now, I only have the jersey, but if I could purchase pants to go with them, I would have purchased the gold pants.
You are a millennial, aren't you?
the gold pants must go.
I'm just saying, you guys are all fashion. I'm Generation X. We don't care about anything. I don't care.
Listen here. If your commies came out with those spectacular golden pants right there,
you would
learn to care.
I don't like their gold pants that they wear.
They do look a little Florida State, don't they?
This is going to sound kind of dumb. I don't think you should wear pants that... That show...
End of sentence.
I don't think you should wear pants that show the sweat more than other colors.
But then what is John Madden going to circle with his...
Nothing, he's dead.
...graphic pen? I assume you've seen that Cowboys clip of his.
The whole crotch sweat into your light-colored pants, I don't care for that.
Ugh.
Anyway, the Saints, I think, got a steal in Derek Carr.
Absolutely.
And then I think... For whatever, I do have to throw this out there, though. What the hell happened to Jameis Winston? I mean, I know He had that weird eat the W moment with his fingers that he did. Remember that?
Oh, I love that. I still do that at people sometimes.
It's weird. And then, you know, so he moves on. He goes to the Saints. A lot of people thought he was just going to win that job. He was going to learn under Drew Brees. And then, I mean, have people forgotten what kind of numbers Jameis Winston used to put up when he was with the Bucs?
It was usually around 4,000, once 5,000 yards, and then approximately 30-30 with the touchdown.
I thought you were going to say 5,000 interceptions. But still, he did some things as a young quarterback that had not really ever been done. I mean, 5,000 yards?
My favorite was someone asking, could you imagine if Jameis Winston worked at some other job and still performed this way? Like he opened a daycare center, and if you came to pick up your kid, the kid was either in the hospital.
He loses half of them or
something?
He's
like, the kid is either in the hospital or he's fluent in Mandarin, but there's never anything in between.
That's pretty good. I think the Saints are going to be pretty good. I think Derek Carr was a great pickup. They're going to have to obviously deal with no Alvin Kamara for three games, but it's a long season, so they will.
And then all their other running backs keep being broken. So that Jamal Williams for 3 weeks is going to be quite the fantasy play.
I think Jamal, this is hard for me to say because I don't like Jamal Williams. I didn't like him when he was at BYU.
Oh, that's why.
And
I was about to say, who doesn't like Jamal Williams?
I didn't like him at BYU, and yet I think he's going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions should have paid the guy. They should have paid him and kept him.
Have you seen
my 2 cents.
The clips of him at Saints camp going around, and people were asking for autographs? And he would just kind of be like, oh, yeah, sure, and he'd sign something for it. But if you gave him something anime-related, he'd give you an autograph, he'd give you something off of his person, and he'd give you, like, a picture.
No, I didn't.
So it's now become common knowledge that if you present Jamal Williams with an anime-related gift of some kind, he will reward you with literally anything you
That's
ask
weird.
Of him.
But
Apparently he's a big Naruto fan.
But I think I think the Saints are going to be pretty good, and I think they're going to be right there. Their defense is loaded, one of which, Wyoming Cowboy, Carl Granderson. He's going.
Well, while we're talking about alma maters, they just drafted one of them their real nice defensive ends, Isaiah Foskey, the all-time sack leader at Notre Dame. He broke Justin Tuck's record.
He probably won't even get in because he's behind Carl Granderson. Carl Granderson's already there.
But yeah, and obviously Cam Jordan's there. And to be fair, the way the NFL works now, there's like six defensive ends that are all going to see the field.
It's kind of turned into, I read a really good article about that compared defensive ends to relief pitchers. Now, they said you can't have enough of them and that you just rotate them in.
Should we be dicks about it literally all year, Dal, and we'll keep a running total over whether Granderson or Foskey gets more sacks?
Yeah,
by
let's
the end
do that. You're going to win that, probably. But I think the Saints will be pretty good. In fact, boom or bust 10 wins, I would say boom, baby.
Oh, it's so difficult because I don't really know if
and
the NFC South will have a 10-win
I think they will because I think they're going to dominate this division.
But I have the Saints easily winning the NFC South.
Yeah.
Now, they do play 17 games, so 10 wins, maybe not that much of a stretch. But you know what the heck? Give them 10 wins. Give them the South. I think Derek Carr is going to have a Derek Carr season. He's going to flirt with 4,000. He might be just under it, might be barely over it, whatever. He'll have like 28 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, and you'll go, that was the most Derek Carr thing I've ever witnessed in my life. And you know what? It's going to be good enough to win that division, and they're going to win football games, and Kamara's going to do Kamara things and have a highlight a week, and Thomas will have three really great games and then explode in a fiery explosion at 20.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Michael Thomas, comeback player of the year.
All right, I will take that bet because even if he puts up 1,600 yards, the Associated Press is going to hand that award to DeMar Hamlin for free.
You're right. Okay, how about he's in the conversation?
Okay,
because you're right.
They're going to give that to him for free for the press. And well, we all know it.
He deserves it. He was dead. That's a bit more impressive than, oh, I had a bad couple of years and came back. He was dead.
But yeah, so we're both in agreement that the Saints will probably win the South. And if they bring back the gold pants, then it will be a perfect season for the New Orleans Saints. Absolutely wonderful for all involved.
Since you're a nerd and you're going to keep track, I want you to keep track of their win-loss with the gold pants this year.
Okay, well, they have a Super Bowl with the gold pants.
I don't care. I'm talking this year.
Well, it's going to be either 1-0 or 0-1, because for some reason they use it as an alternate now, and I don't know why.
I'm just saying I want to be able to ask you at any given time.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
There with how many sacks Foskey and Granderson each have.
All right, grab another jersey. We're running out of time here. Oh, it's the Buccaneers.
Oh, you're going to like this one. You love this guy. Warwick Dunn.
I love Warwick Dunn. In fact, I just tweeted about Warwick Dunn because the whole Michael Orr blind side was not as fairy tale as we all thought. I've never really liked that movie very much because I thought, there's no way that guy's that big of a simpleton as they make him out in the movie. Like he didn't even...
That was one of his primary complaints of the movie.
Well, they made him... he should complain, because they made it look like he didn't even know what a friggin' football was. And I'm like, I guarantee he was already pretty damn good at football. And I think he started on the basketball team, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's an athletic dude. I just...
He also complained about the scene that made the trailer and was like the scene.
I never had a bed.
That one. He's like, I slept in a bed my whole life. What are they talking about?
Anyway, so that the reason we're talking about that is I tweeted yesterday during the whole the Tuies are not who people thought they were because of that. I thought, how come there's no movie about Warwick Dunn? Warwick Dunn raised his younger brother while he was still going to school at high school and then at college at Florida State. Then when he got to the NFL, he still does this, by the way. He builds homes for single mothers and completely hands them the house. It's not just the house. It is completely stocked. Like all furniture, all groceries, everything you need. And he's done this. Like he's given away over 200 houses. Where's that friggin' movie? Warwick Dunn.
I think that would make a better documentary than a movie.
I don't know, man.
Because it's a feel-good story, but you gotta have the...
What I'm saying is that's a guy who needs more airtime.
Yes.
The Tuies don't... We don't need some rich cow from the Taco Bell franchise fortune getting Sandra Bullock to strut around and act sassy in a tight skirt for 2 hours. Who cares?
Now, I will ask...
That's crap, too, by the way, that she won an Oscar for that. Are you friggin' kidding me? Give me a break.
Was she bad in that movie?
I'm not saying she's bad, but you're saying that performance is better than every other woman's performance that year. Bull crap.
I don't really remember. I saw that movie when it came out, and I think that's the last time.
I thought, what a high-maintenance witch that woman must be. And guess what? I think I was right.
Obviously, going back to talking about the Buccaneers here.
Sorry.
Warwick Dunn, jersey or
anyway,
not.
Warwick Dunn,
They got the biggest story coming out of the NFC South during this preseason, rookies not included. The Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask shoot-off if nothing else, I don't care if you don't think either of them is a good quarterback. If you're going to watch two quarterbacks compete to be the 29th best starting quarterback in the NFL, I at least like that both of them are such gunslingers, because it makes the competition at least entertaining.
To me, Kyle Trask shouldn't even be in this conversation. If Baker Mayfield doesn't sew up this, like, by this week, if he doesn't, there's one I want to hear. Someone won the starting job.
You'll hear that
if Baker
2 days before opening kickoff.
If Baker Mayfield does not handily take this starting job, then they should cut him. There's no reason to have him on the team if he can't,
vibes.
If he can't beat Kyle Trask for the starting job.
What's wrong with Kyle Trask?
He sucks.
He was a rookie last year.
Yeah.
I never saw the field.
That's exactly my point. And you're saying Baker Mayfield, who's been to the playoffs with the Cleveland freaking Browns, can't beat him out in a quarterback competition?
I don't know. Trask was pretty good at Florida.
Was he?
He was pretty good. He was all SEC. That's not
first
easy.
Off, I'm not saying that these people are bad at football, because if you're in the NFL, you're freaking amazing at football.
Well, yeah, I was more saying I don't know that we've seen
Kyle
Trask.
But by comparison, he's not a starting NFL quarterback.
We don't know that yet.
He is not. Right now, he is not. Okay, boomer bust. You're feeling confident that Kyle Trask is your starting quarterback going into this season. Hell no, you're not.
Because he's unknown.
No.
I entirely don't know what Kyle Trask is.
The only reason he's there is because he played football down the road at Florida.
Both of them. Well, he was a second-round pick. It wasn't like he was some nobody.
Yeah, they shouldn't have drafted him in the second round. That was a reach and a half.
I don't know. I feel like any quarterback that makes the All-SEC team is guaranteed a top-three-round pick.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's any good.
Anyhow, the one thing we can absolutely quarter in the slot, that's locked in. Let's go. Mike Evans is having another 1,000-yard season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He'll probably barely make it, because that's what he likes to do. He likes to get exactly 1,000 yards.
Especially if these are the two guys throwing to him.
That's just, you can put it in every year. Mike Evans, 1,000 yards. Nice. It's good. It's clean. It's guaranteed. It's like the sun rising in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, Mike Evans hit 1,000 yards.
I can't believe we're going to end the show on the Atlanta Falcons.
Why not, Dal?
All right, who's your Falcons?
Well,
you always, you're high, okay, Vic. Okay, Michael Vic.
I got the Mike Vic jersey in
all
here.
All the people who have dogs just turned off our podcast. Nice job.
See, here's the thing, Dal. What Michael Vic did was a terrible, bad thing, and then he won me my fantasy football championship in 2010, and so all is forgiven.
Here's how I look at it. He went to prison. He went to freaking prison.
And then he won
Kansas. He went to Leavenworth. He served his time. He's done.
Leavenworth was actually a place that my wife and I were looking at houses until we realized, like, one of my parents had to inform me. They're like, isn't that where the federal prison is?
Which is what we say in Wyoming when it's like, Rollins? You know that's where the prison is, right?
But yeah, Michael Vick, he served his time, whatever. Not nearly as important as him winning me my fantasy football championship.
The
fly,
Falcons,
Eagles, fly.
The Falcons are... Falcons, you mean?
Well, that particular year he was with the Eagles.
Oh, okay, but gotcha.
Yes, the Falcons who we're talking about, I am reliably informed that while the Mariota experiment was fun last year and we all enjoyed watching a guy throw 7 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, that Desmond Ridder, they've just given him the job. They said week one.
You've got to.
I forget that he was technically taken in the first round.
Yeah.
I think of Ridder and I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, well, kind of like Willis. I kind of put him in that category. Like, well, he was highly touted and then they took him late. Wait, hold on. No, they didn't. They took him 31st. That's right. My apologies.
So he's kind of like Lamar Jackson in that way.
Sort of, apart from the fact that I don't see him winning MVP in his second season.
I don't either. But yeah, you're not going to sit him. This is exactly my point with some of these other teams that say they haven't decided who the quarterback is. Or they say, they make an announcement. That's, it's like, of course this guy's going to start. Of course they're going to let Ridder start, because why? Why would you play Mariota?
The only reason
in the first game
you could justify playing Mariota, first of all, is if he had had a better year last year.
Well,
but second of all,
if you're on the cusp of being a playoff team, which they're not.
If they really thought that the South was as bad as many of us think it's going to be, and they thought, well, you know what, we might be able to win this division, Mariota, steer the ship. Here's the thing. It's going to take more than Mariota steering the ship, though,
yeah,
to win the South. They need something spectacular. I don't think Ritter will give it to him.
Here's a boomer bust.
But he gives
him
a better
you,
chance.
Here's a boomer bust. Is Bijan Robinson a top five running back this season in terms of yardage?
Fantasy or
yardage?
Real running back?
Real running yardage.
It has to be rushing. It can't be total.
Rushing.
Ooh. I think we can pencil Henry above him.
Keep in mind, he's also going to split the backfield with Tyler Algier, who had 1,000 yards last year.
Who amongst us, though, hasn't had to split the backfield this coming season?
That's true.
Derrick Henry. But yeah, other than that, I mean, realistically, everyone's got a running back, too, that's going to eat like 30% of their carries, if I'm just thinking of all the decent running backs.
All right, you're stalling.
Yeah. I'm going like division by division. He'll probably outrush the NFC North. Barkley, they are so similar, aren't they?
I don't know.
They're, well, yeah, we haven't seen it, but physically they're very similar.
I'm going to say yes.
What the heck? I'll say yes too. He's going to be 4 or 5.
But I also think it's not going to make any difference.
No, the Falcons will win 7 games.
I think they're not going to win that many.
Well, they won 8 last year or 7 last year.
Yeah, and got worse.
I don't know that they got worse. They're about the same as last year.
Yeah, that's my 2 cents. Wow, we just covered basically 2 crappy divisions is what we just did. No wonder we talked about something else for 30 minutes.
And both of us agreed on each division winner, too.
Yeah, so pretty much. Well, what's... I guess that is the NFL. They could make us look stupid.
I really should have... No one's ever used the term gotten exciting and picking the Titans in the same sentence before. Yeah. Maybe I should have done that, but... I'll be rooting for the Jaguars, if for no other reason, Dal, no other reason than the fact that if I have to watch one of those two teams in at least one playoff game, don't the Jaguars feel like they're at least more fun to watch even if they lose than the Titans?
They're a team I pay attention to because there's 2 Wyoming players on them. So.
Well, that. Their defense is... The Titans are your grandfather's football team, and that can be a positive or a negative depending on who you talk to. I'm just saying,
run
as a matter
of
fact, they're going to run, they're going to throw slants, and on defense, they're not like a takeaway and a sack machine type defense. They're a throw it underneath, and we come up and make the tackle, and then you will punt, and this is how we play football.
If I was a Titans fan, I would buy a box of...
They are the Lovie Smith Bears.
I would buy a box of O. Henry candy bars, and every time Derek gets a touchdown, I would scarf a candy bar. That's what I would do.
The Jaguars, not saying that they're better or worse than the Titans, but if you're going to watch one of these two teams have to lose to the Chiefs in round one, like at least the Jaguars are probably going to like throw
Jaguars,
for 400 yards.
Jaguars pissed that game away. They should have won that game.
There's going to be like 4 or 5 turnovers for each team. Like, you know, the Jaguars are going to at least have a weirder loss.
Yeah.
And that'll be more exciting.
Well, Aaron, we are out of time.
Oh, a shame indeed. Well, have we not touched on any news from this week, Dal? There wasn't a whole lot in baseball world.
Well, we kind of touched on those running back signings. So.
Yeah. Ohtani got passed for the home run lead. Matt Olson is now alone in first place.
Ohtani is still way ahead of him in wins as a pitcher, though.
Not an ERA, though. Matt Olson and his wonderful 0.00.
No, he doesn't have enough.
For his one inning pitched. That is still the Braves. I'm sorry, but if you can't giggle at Braves Twitter for tweeting that
one
out.
I agree. That's pretty good. But, this is... Are we going to have to do the podcast? We have to figure out how to do this now, because if you didn't pay attention to the podcast, Aaron is selfishly moving.
It's true.
Moving back to...
I think I even kicked Dal as I was giving him this news. It was truly the most heinous.
And as soon as he gets back to Kansas City, he's going to send me a picture of him eating barbecue, dripping off his chin, and I'm going to send one back of me giving him the bird.
Isn't it funny how whenever you refer to any location on Earth, it's just such human nature to just pick the closest major city and just say there. Like when people ask me where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
And the answer is just Chicago.
It's Naperville, but you just say Chicago because it's easier.
Like I'm moving to Savannah, Missouri.
Which is where?
A good hour away from Kansas City.
Okay.
But, you know, it's on the western end of Missouri, so it's Kansas City.
So what you're saying is there's not good barbecue in Savannah, Missouri.
I have no idea.
You better not say that because for all we know, you've already ruined. They're already going to burn your house down for saying that.
We can have a weekly debate, Dal, as I cover some Kansas schools. I've been designated to the Paola, Kansas Panthers.
Paola?
Yeah.
That's a bad thing. Paola is like a kickback. Who names a town after that or a school?
We can have a debate each week, Dal. We'll break down the Star Valley Braves and the Paola Panthers weekly performance, and we'll argue over whose high schoolers would beat whose high schoolers in a
Star Valley's going to win a lot of games this year. I don't know about the Panthers.
I also don't know about the Panthers. I haven't covered them yet, so we're going to find out.
It's interesting you covered the Cokeville Panthers this last year,
I thought the same thing. How interesting. I also found out recently that the old Yorkville Foxes made it to the state championship game last year, something that they never did in all of history. That is where I would have gone to high school had I not moved right before high school started.
Okay.
So they were, that's just a random thing I found.
That's got to be one of the most odd segues we've ever had.
Yeah. And you'll catch us right here on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts, regardless of where I personally am seated while recording the show. You'll still find us there. See you guys next time.